Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the depth of your love for each one of us. Thank you for reaching out to us in your grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through him we can not only enjoy forgiveness of sins, but also become your children and feasible to enter into deep fellowship with you. We pray, Father, that you will have the freedom to continue to speak to us, to teach us your ways, to help us to gain insight into what you desire to communicate to us through the scriptures, so that more and more our hearts may be aligned with your heart, and that we may be able to participate meaningfully in our working of your purposes. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you will bless us with your presence and continue to renew our minds so that we may be able to serve you well. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been considering the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes, and we are considering the big picture, the sixth message. The subtopic for today, Paul, a trustworthy steward of the mystery. Paul, a trustworthy steward of the mystery. If we want to respond well to God's call, it is very helpful to have a big picture and see how the various aspects and issues of the Christian faith fit into the big picture. But it's not just a big picture, it's critical that we see the biblical picture. Then we can develop sound convictions and also a mindset that will help us in our daily lives, and also how we approach and consider various issues, as well as our appreciation and understanding of the scriptures. Many of us want to serve the Lord well. It's only when we understand the heart of God, the ways of God, then we'll be able to serve him effectively. We have seen there is a meaningful relationship between various key expressions in the scriptures. The mystery, Christ, the gospel, the faith, the word, and the kingdom of God. These are major themes in the scriptures, and they all flow forth from the same core area of truth. What has been in the heart of God before the foundation of the world? The mystery. And it has to do with God's eternal purpose and how he desires to accomplish it. This is the central message of the scriptures. It's the core center of what God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. And if we understand this area well, it will help us to understand the rest of the scriptures. And also how the various portions of the scriptures relate to and how they flow forth from this core area of truth. It's important to have a biblical worldview, the correct values and perspective, and also how believers ought to view situations, make decisions. And for us to fare well in all these areas, we need to see how they flow forth from this core area of truth. If we want to align our heart with the heart of God, then we need to align our heart with this core area of truth. So we can afford to be ambiguous and also to be able to see clearly that the core area of truth is not just what somebody tells us, but we must be able to see clearly that it is indeed the core area of truth as revealed in the scriptures. So today I want to consider with you the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul as a good example for us in relation to this area of truth. Paul was faithful in fulfilling what God entrusted to him, and he devoted his whole life to accomplish his goal. He was prepared to go through all kinds of suffering, to give up his life, and all that he did, he constantly bore in mind what God had entrusted to him. And he expressed this again and again in his epistles. He doesn't always use the same words, but basically they cover the same area of truth. We can describe it as being the faithful stewardship of the mystery. What has been the heart of God in relation to the fulfillment of his purposes and how God desires to accomplish it. Not only Paul sought him to align his heart with this core area of truth, but also he felt a great sense of responsibility because God had revealed to him the mystery, and he sought in different ways to transmit his insight into the mystery to the believers that he served. So we have been looking at this area, and now let us group together the different expressions and ways that the Apostle Paul expresses in relation to this core area of truth. They will help us to gain insight into the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, what motivates him, and how he sought to fulfill what the Lord had entrusted to him. What is it at the core center when he tried to fulfill the will of God? What is understanding of what God had entrusted to him? And the way Paul lived his life, in everything that he do, in everything that he did, and what preoccupied him, is always related to this core center. It is also the underlying theme of his epistles. And all these have been recorded in the scriptures for our learning. So as we go through, to try to understand the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul in relation to what he expressed in relation to this core area of truth, let us learn from him and also look to the Lord that we may gain spiritual insight into what Paul wants to transmit to us through his epistles, so that we can also identify with Paul what was in his heart and learn to serve God the way Paul did. So let us now begin with two verses, which I see is a good way to introduce how Paul views life, what motivates him, what he understands God has entrusted to him, and what preoccupies him. And we'll start with these two verses under point number one. That is, trustworthy steward of the mysteries of God. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote, remember in this context, in the previous chapter, Paul had talked about his ministry, the ministry of Paul, Apollos, that they are fellow workers of the Lord. And what does Paul tell us in these two verses, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2? He says, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ. What was Paul most conscious of as he lived his life on earth? And how does he want people to regard him? As servants of Christ. But how does he serve the Lord? He went on. And stewards of the mysteries of God. As a servant of the Lord, his primary task is to be a steward of the mysteries of God. In times past, I did mention, you can say mystery, you can say mysteries, because there are various aspects to it. But collectively, it is mystery. Then Paul went on to say, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So that's the most important thing to Paul, to be a trustworthy steward of the mystery. Trustworthy means reliable, faithful. What God had entrusted to him, his stewardship of the mystery. Let us now turn to the book of Ephesians. For some time we've been looking at the book of Ephesians, and let us now look at the different expressions and different angles of appreciating what has been in God's heart, what God had revealed to the Apostle Paul and entrusted to him, and how God's plan and purposes are to be accomplished. So Paul puts it in different ways, and as I list down various points, you can say that each point in itself can be a way of describing what God had entrusted to Paul, what he devoted his life to. And we'll now concentrate on the various expressions that Paul uses in relation to this subject. So now, point number two. Point one is trustworthy steward of the mysteries of God. Point number two, God has made known the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in Christ. You can see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him. God has made known to the Apostle Paul the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in Christ. That is, God has revealed the mystery, and he has to do with what God intends to accomplish in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God had made known the mystery to Paul, and now it is Paul's responsibility to make this known. We can say it is also the responsibility of all believers to first look to the Lord to gain insight into God's revelation of the mystery, and then how to transmit it, and thereby participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes. Because at the very heart of the fulfillment of God's purposes is the transmission of the mystery. And the transmission of the mystery is not just transmitting some concepts. You see, Paul was gripped by the stewardship of the mystery. And as Paul sought to transmit it, as I've mentioned in times past, he first needed to appreciate these realities and the whole way it molded his life. And when he transmitted, yes, a major aspect has to do with preaching, teaching, but also through his epistles, through his prayers, through his interactions with different ones, in all ways, he sought to transmit the mystery so that he can be a faithful, trustworthy steward of the mystery. And the mystery centers around God's intention and what he purposed in Christ. And the third point, another way that Paul puts it, is the summing up of all things in Christ. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, and notice it's a continuation from verse 9. Verse 9 talks about how God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, that is in Christ. And then verse 10 continues, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing of all things in Christ. So another way of looking at what has been in the heart of God, the mystery, is the summing up of all things in Christ. So that is the third point. Summing up of all things in Christ. God has made known the mystery of his will to Paul, what he purposed in Christ, with a view to an administration to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. So that is in the heart of God, even before he created the world. And it continues to be so throughout the ages. And today, we are living in a very important phase in the unfolding of God's purposes. The summing of all things in Christ communicates to us that at the culmination of the fulfillment of God's purposes, it's only those who are in Christ who will be in God's kingdom and will be able to find true meaning and fulfillment as well as their proper place in Christ. Right from the very beginning, this was in God's heart, and history and church history is moving in the direction towards the culmination of the summing up of all things in Christ. And it will move in the purposes or in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes in Christ, that is, all of us who are in God's kingdom will be subjected to and under the headship, kingship of Christ. This will carry on through eternity. But right now, it's in the process. and how we align our heart with the heart of God, we must first learn to subject ourselves to the headship of Christ, the church, subjecting itself to the headship of Christ. We are children of God in God's kingdom, subjected to the kingship of Christ. Now the process is ongoing, and to the degree each one of us subject ourselves to the headship of Christ or the kingship of Christ, to that degree we'll be aligning our heart with the heart of God. And not only that, as we do that, we are also to seek to do all that we can according to God's guidance, enabling to move in the direction to help and encourage all others to likewise move in the direction of the summing of all things in Christ. That is, first non-believers have to enter the kingdom of God, and then God's children more and more learning to subject themselves to the kingship of Christ and finding their proper place in Christ, which we will see afterwards, that Paul continues to help us to understand these things in the book of Ephesians. But as I said, you can take these various expressions in itself. They already sum up what was entrusted to Paul. But we must bear in mind when I say various of these points, expressions, is together with the implications. As we saw in the earlier message, Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That sums up his ministry. But it has to do with Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the implications that flow forth from there. So same thing, the summing up all things in Christ. There's the third point. The fourth point is the stewardship of the mystery of Christ. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, I will read the words of Paul in these three verses, or in these four verses. And if you put them together, you will find Paul is talking about the stewardship of the mystery of Christ. That is what God entrusted to him, and that's how he sought to live his life. So you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, the stewardship of God's grace given to me for you. These are the words in the verse. It's good if you look at the text itself. In verse 3, he says, by revelation was made known to me the mystery. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't just something he heard from someone, but God had revealed it to him. So the mystery comes about through revelation. And then verse 4, he went on to say, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So Paul had revelation, he had spiritual insight, and this insight is into the mystery of Christ. So the stewardship of God's grace given to him is for you, that is for believers, and it has to do with his insight into the mystery of Christ. So it is the stewardship of the mystery of Christ. So Paul here puts it in these words, in this way, the mystery of Christ, the stewardship of the mystery of Christ. That communicates to us that at the heart of the mystery is God's provision of Christ. The mystery of Christ, the mystery concerning Christ. At the core center of the mystery is Christ, which we saw just now in chapter 1, verse 9. The mystery, God made known the mystery of his will, which has to do with his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ. So as I said, Paul puts it in different ways. But we now group them all together. He's talking about the same thing. He's trying to tell us at the very heart of the mystery is God's provision of Christ. Not just centering on Christ, but it is God's provision for us. The mystery at the heart of it, yes, is Christ. It has to do with what God intends to accomplish in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's meant for us. The mystery is revealed for man and how man can have a part in God's eternal purpose. As we go on, we'll see it becomes increasingly clear. It's not just a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his character, the revelation of Christ is for the purpose of the salvation of man. And the biblical salvation in its fullest sense, similar to the gospel, is not just conversion, but all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, which includes the unfathomable riches of Christ, which is the next point. It leads us now, what did Paul do when he came to understand the stewardship of the mystery of Christ that was entrusted to him? Point number 5. Preaching the unfathomable riches of Christ. This he tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. So it follows on. I could have gone down the verses slowly, but that will take too long. So I will now, as I said, I'll just pick out the more crucial expressions. And it will help you to see the whole flow of the epistle and how, as Paul wrote, the burdens in his heart, what gripped him, keeps coming out in different forms and helps us to understand different angles of appreciating Paul's ministry, what God had entrusted to him, the mystery. So the mystery involves the preaching the unfathomable riches of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 8, he says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. See, chapter 3, verse 2, he tells us of the stewardship of God's grace given to me for you. So clearly, he's saying the same thing as he sought to fulfill the ministry entrusted to him. It was to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's the very heart of how we can enter into God's intentions for us, the mystery, what has been in his heart. And Paul, after stating verse 8, which we've just looked at, the grace given to him to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ, he went on to verse 9, which brings us to the next point. Point number 6. Bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. This is also another way we can describe Paul's ministry. Can be summed up also in these words. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. Paul's ministry, including preaching the unfathomable riches of Christ, as well as the implications, is to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which is to make known how God desires his purposes to be accomplished. What is in the heart of God? How they are to be accomplished. So he tells us, chapter 3, verse 9, after mentioning in verse 8 about preaching the unfathomable riches of Christ, he says, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. The preaching of the unfathomable riches of Christ is to bring to light the administration of the mystery, which for ages have been hidden in God, who created all things. In times past hidden, but now revealed. And Paul's ministry is to bring to light the administration of the mystery, and the very heart of it is to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. But that's not the whole story. As I said, he puts it in different forms, different expressions. But if you talk about the unfathomable riches of Christ and the implications, yes, you include the various points which I'm considering with you today and more. Various other points, the Lord willing, will come in a subsequent message. Then Paul goes on to tell us in the next verse. He carries on. The next verse, Paul tells us an important goal and the way to attain the goal. point number 7. That the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. Why preach the unfailing riches of Christ? What's the meaning of bringing to light what is administration of the ministry? It's moving towards what goal? It's verse 10 of chapter 3. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. Again, you can see this is one way of expressing Paul's ministry. This is one way of expressing what is in the heart of God. What God wants to bring about in and through the church. We'll now go on to see what Paul goes on to say, which in his epistle in Ephesians, the centrality of the role of the church in the fulfillment of God's purposes, the centrality of the role of the church at the core center of the mystery. And as the church responds, rises up to God's call, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known. And this is one way of looking at why God created man. What has been in his heart before the foundation of the world? To create more a people who will be able to manifest the wisdom of God. You can say together with that, the glory of God. But man went astray. The fall took place. Genesis chapter 3. That is why God had to send the Lord Jesus Christ, not only what we can find in him, but also first to be reconciled back to God, forgiveness of sins. But God's intentions is not just forgiveness of sins. It's for us to rise up to his high calling, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That has always been in the heart of God. And as we rise up in that way, the kind of relationship we can have with God, and the character transformation that goes together with it, and the participation in the working of God's purposes, that is the way, more and more, the wisdom of God will be made known. And not just made known, it's made known through the church. What God brings about in the church, and then through the church. So how the church responds to God, and the freedom with which God can work in and through the church, is at the very core center of what has been the heart of God. What God wants to bring about, what Paul saw, and what Paul gave his life to. And from verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be known through the church, Paul went on to say in verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. What God wants to bring about in and through the church is in accordance with the eternal purpose, even before the fall. It was already in the heart of God, and it has to do with God's eternal purpose. In times past, I've mentioned, you go through the whole of the Bible, you don't often find this expression, eternal purpose of God. But of course, this is critical. If we love God, we want to align our heart with the heart of God, we want to participate in the folding of his purposes, then we need to know what is the eternal purpose of God. And eternal purpose of God is the most important thing. It has to do with why he created everything, why he created man. And verse 11 tells us, it follows through verse 10. This was in accordance. What was in accordance? The manifold wisdom of God being made known through the church. So what God wants to do in and through the church must come first, and then this will fit in with the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose. And Paul elaborated here, which he carried out in Christ. So again and again, you see the role of Christ, critical, at the very core center. But this is where I mentioned earlier, it's not just Christ and the manifestation of Christ, the revelation of Christ, so that we can all marvel at the greatness of Christ and his character and the beauty of Christ. No. There's an aspect, yes, of that. But here Paul tells us that what God desires is the manifestation of the wisdom of God through the church. That is what he wants to bring about in and through the church. And this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ. That is God sending Christ into this world. What he purposed in Christ. There's a purpose, there's a direction. And that direction is to accomplish. Verse 10. Likewise, the preaching of the unfailed riches of Christ to bring to light what is the mission of the mystery is in the direction of verse 10. So all that God has been doing and what he intends is actually what he desires for the church. We are the very core center of God's love and the fulfillment of his purposes. The love, the grace of God is directed at us. God so loved the world that he sent Christ so that those who not know the Lord perishing can become God's children. And the moment you become God's children, you're baptized into the body of Christ. We look at this in an earlier message. And this all this then to move in the direction of what? How church life ought to function? And we'll see immediately after this what Paul talks about it. How church life ought to function and the goal for the church. So when we talk about God's creation and as man, what we should be very deeply concerned about is the glory of God. In times past, I've mentioned that is true. But sometimes when believers say, and God created man, and what life is all about is to glorify God, they may not properly appreciate the meaning of glorifying God. At the very heart of the glorification of God, that God can be glorified, his wisdom, manifold wisdom manifested, is what he desires to bring about in and through the church. The growth of believers conformed to the image of Christ. God's love toward us. And as we respond positively, it manifests God's glory. And God's intentions is actually directed at us. His love for us, his provisions for us, and what he desires us to attain to so that we can have deep fellowship with him and with one another and participate meaningfully in our working of his purposes. So Paul recognized the centrality of the role of the church in the heart of God. And so he devoted his life to the growth and well-being of the church. And all that he did, he constantly concentrated on the welfare of believers and the church. That's why he wrote all the epistles to the church, to the various churches, and even his epistles that he wrote to Timothy, to Titus. At the very heart of it is the depth of his love, concern for believers and the church. Because this is what God is concerned about. This is what God had entrusted to Paul. And you can also say, this is what God has entrusted to each one of us as his children. So Paul recognized the centrality of the church. He devoted his life to the growth and well-being of the church so that the church might attain to and fulfill God's eternal purpose, which God had carried out in Christ, and thereby manifesting the manifold wisdom of God. A meaningful way to appreciate the working and fulfillment of God's purposes is the expression of body life in the way, direction, and goal as God desires. Expression of body life, critical, yes, but not just as we wish or we think what we think best or what appears to work. It's the expression of body life in the way, direction, and goal as God desires. to which Paul was committed to do his part. So this is another way we can view the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, what was entrusted to Paul at the core center, the mystery, what is it all about? Is the expression of body life in the way, direction, and goal as God desires. So this brings me to point 8. Point 8, you can subdivide it, but I think I prefer to put it all together. There are various parts to it. And it is a bit long. But I think it's good to put them all together as one point. So this leads me then to point number 8. And you can see all this actually is a continuing flow in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Point number 8, the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I think these words will all sound very familiar to you if you've been reading the scriptures. It's directly from Ephesians chapter 4, point number 8. I say we can look at the fulfillment of God's purposes, what's in the heart of God, what God is concerned about, what Paul is concerned about, what we should all be concerned about, at the core center of what should preoccupy us. This is another way of looking at it, is the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. All this will take a long time to elaborate, but I think I'll just make some brief comments so that you can see the flow of it and the picture may become a bit clearer. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. So Paul, after mentioning how God has made known his will, the mystery of his will, and the stewardship of the mystery entrusted to Paul, and the goal for the church, and so on, Paul in chapter 4, verse 1, talks about, he says, therefore, I implore you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. So how are believers to walk worthy of the calling is very much related to point number 8. And the text itself, let us look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. So I am putting it across in this way, so that you can see, as I want to impress upon you, that what we are concerned about is not just the views of men or the assertions of men. We want to see what God has revealed in the scriptures. Is it clear? It is. You'll see for yourself. These are directly from the text. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some, that is the Lord, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. So these are gifts that God has given to the church, including apostles, people like the Apostle Paul, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Why did God give these gifts to the church? Verse 12 tells us, For what purpose? It's for the equipping of the saints. First, they need to enter the kingdom of God, and then they need to be equipped. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. Christians, many want to serve the Lord. But do we know how to serve the Lord? How to go about it God's way? Service to God, important, very important. But it's not just what appears to be effective service. True service, effective service. We must subject ourselves to God's revelation in the scriptures. So here, Paul is describing the functioning, the outworking of church life, body life, as we go down. We'll see this. So he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, verse 12, is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, which also tells us that in God's heart, he wants all believers to participate in service, not just some, all, but they need to be equipped. And the work of service is to the building up of the body of Christ. At the heart of true service is the building up of the body of Christ. Believers being built up and also non-believers added into the universal church. And Paul went on to say, until. So that is the direction, the goal. So in these verses, Paul is telling us the way as well as the direction and the goal. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So all are to move in the direction of the unity of the faith. That's true unity. But you must properly understand the faith, what the faith is all about. Grounded in truth, revealed in the scriptures. That is true unity. We attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Again, the critical role of Christ, the Son. Our knowledge of Christ. Our knowledge of Christ are just recognizing that Christ exists or that he's the Savior of the world. How deeply do we know the Lord? Similarly, our knowledge of God. Likewise, the knowledge of Christ. And in case we miss what Paul is trying to say, he elaborates. So it's clear. It's to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Our growing unto maturity, described as the fullness of Christ, the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And directly related, that is our knowledge of Christ himself. They go together. How deep our knowledge of Christ, how mature we are, and to what degree we attain to the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What Paul is telling here is an elaboration of how we can respond well to God's call and walk in a manner worthy of our calling, which he tells us in chapter 4, verse 1. We long to respond well to God's call. How? Paul elaborates so that we understand how to go about it. But Paul's expression of body life, direction and goal as God desires, to which Paul was committed to do his part, includes also verses 15 and 16. I've already included quite a lot in point number 8. But point number 9 and point number 10 is a continuation of body life. But I see helpful to separate it. So point number 9 is chapter 4, verse 15. Point number 9, speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Again, there's another way of describing what ought to be in the heart of every believer. What is at the core center of our longing and how we work up our lives? Speaking the truth in love. So truth, love, critical. And then to grow up in all aspects. Comprehensive. Every aspect. Wholesome. Complete. Into him. Who is that? Who is the head? Even Christ. You can say that is what we should be preoccupied with. How we learn to love one another in truth. And sometimes we say, this person loves me, this person does not love me, and so on. But what is the true measurement of love? Love in what direction? Paul says, it is in the direction that we can all grow up in all aspects into Him. If you truly love your brother, love your sister, you will do all you can to contribute to his or her life so that there can be the growing up in all aspects, comprehensive, total development. And this is true, not only for those who are more mature. You may say, but I am not so mature. How can I contribute to those who are more mature? This is meant for all. Why? Because there are many different ways you can live your lives in a way that will be encouragement to others, and you can contribute to their lives. For example, one area of prayer. All of us can pray and contribute to one another's lives. Likewise, the various things that God has taught us. Our times together now, different ones can participate. As you share what God has been doing in your life, others can learn something of what God has been doing in your life in a way that can help them in the appreciation of God and how they ought to respond to God. And so in many, many different ways, in expression of church life and body life, speaking the truth or being truthful in love, actually, the text can be translated, not just speaking the truth, but being truthful in love. That means truth we absorb, truth manifested in our lives, it goes together with love. We then contribute to one another's lives. That's why Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, the most important thing is to seek for the edification of the church, of the brethren, the building up. And this passage here in Ephesians, Paul is talking about the same thing, the building up of the body of Christ at the very core center. We'll go on then to point number 10, which is a follow-up. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Point number 10, you can say, and put it this way, the proper working of each individual part in the whole body causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You can say this is one way of looking at what God is interested in. What is at the core center? When there is proper working of each individual part in the whole body, you will cause the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And then we'll be able to enter fully into the accomplishment of God's purposes in our lives as well as through our lives. So chapter 4, verse 16, bear in mind, it's a continuation from verse 15. So verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love, we have to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom? That is, in relation to Christ. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. So when you want to work out, bear in mind, from whom? That is Christ who is the head, submitted to the head, subjected to the head. Then properly fitted. They will be what Paul describes, elaborates, but according to the proper working of each individual part. How do we work out properly? How do we find our proper place as we subject ourselves to the head, the headship of Christ? As we learn from the Lord, as our character is being transformed in humility, subjected to the kingship of Christ, the headship of Christ, there will be the proper working of each individual part. If we are properly submitted to Christ, it can never go wrong. It will be perfect. There will not be envy, jealousy, striving, and all kinds of problems. Of course, bear in mind, none of us is perfect. So our submission to the head is never perfect. But we must look to the Lord for grace to help us to submit ourselves, to subject ourselves to the headship of Christ as much as we can in the direction of perfection, and never rest satisfied, never become complacent. Even if you have been serving the Lord, subjecting yourself to the headship of Christ to some degree, know that there's a long way to go. First, in our own development, the other is our discernment. How to truly submit ourselves to Christ in the way He desires of us. But that is the goal. How to work it out. The proper working of each individual part takes place when there is true submission to Christ. And what will happen? It will cause the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The body will grow. Each one will grow, and the body as a whole will grow. And that is what it's all about during this phase of the unfolding of God's purposes. And I've also mentioned in times past, it's helpful to appreciate this part that Paul is talking about. The growth of the body, as we function this way, it causes the growth of the body for the building of self in love. The body continues to be built up in two directions. The quality of the brethren, the other is the growth in terms of numbers. But God is not just looking for numbers. Christ is looking for true discipleship. For those who will truly submit to Him, deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Him. That is what the Lord is looking for. And when there is this submission to the head, growing well in the head, yes, more and more will be added to the universal church and functioning the way God desires. Well, we'll move on to point number 11. Another way of appreciating what has been the heart of God with regard to the fulfillment of His purposes, which God revealed to the Apostle Paul, is the centrality of the relationship between Christ and the church and the goal for the church. Remember just now I mentioned one way to appreciate the centrality of the church. But now another way is to view it from the angle. This has been in the heart of God. And Paul makes it very clear in Ephesians, is the relationship, the centrality of the relationship between Christ and the church. And there's a direction to it, the goal for the church. So point 11 is also a little long, but it's very familiar as I tell you the point. It ought to be very familiar to you by now. So point number 11 is the relationship between Christ and the church. Christ, the Savior and head of the church. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory. Christ nourishes and cherishes the church because we are members of His body. This mystery is great. This is a very important, central aspect of the revelation of the mystery. The relationship between Christ and the church, how Christ loved the church, gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify the church and present to Himself the church in all her glory. And Christ nourishing, cherishing the church. You can see all this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 32. So all these words are very familiar to you. I put them together in a way that makes sense. But I will now, let's now quickly look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 to 32. And I will just read the words. Not every word, but some of the key phrases that brings out this picture. So as I said, these are the words of Paul as revealed to him by the Lord. And he tells us, he highlights that this is a major, wonderful aspect of the revelation of the mystery. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 32. Verse 23, and I said, I only read key words. Christ is the head of the church, the savior of the body. Verse 24, the church is subject to Christ in everything. Now, it's not phrased in this way, but the meaning is there. So also wives ought to be to husbands in everything. So it's, the meaning is there. The church is subject to Christ in everything. Verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 26, so that he might sanctify her. Verse 27, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, holy and blameless. There's more elaboration. I didn't read. I don't want to read everything. It'll take too long. Then verse 29. Nourishes and cherishes the church. It's talking about Christ. Because we are members of his body. And Paul culminates this passage with these words in verse 32. This mystery is great. But I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. This whole page is talking about Christ and the church, the main thing he wants to talk about and communicate. And he says, this mystery is great. What is this mystery? The mystery is what was revealed to Paul, what has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world. And here Paul is saying that this is the very heart of the mystery. It's a relationship between Christ and the church. How come there can be the church? Because look, Christ gave himself for the church, not just for individuals. His intention is that there be the church. And then only believers, becoming believers, baptized in the body of Christ, but he wants to sanctify the church, present to himself the church in all her glory. And there are many implications that flow forth from this. So I said, this is another way we can look at the core center of the mystery, what has been entrusted to Paul, what Paul devoted his life, that we may appreciate, understand the relationship between Christ and the church, God's intentions for the church. So Paul knew the critical importance of the relationship between Christ and the church in the heart of God, and also what Christ seeks to bring about, the goal for the church. So Paul seeks to do his part in facilitating the accomplishment of the goal for the church, which is something all believers ought to be devoted to, and that is the church in all her glory. But we know this is not easy, but there's a direction. So that's what we should devote our lives to, commit our hearts to. I'll just end with one last point. Point number 12. Before that, to introduce this point, it's interesting. If you look at the epistle, remember, as I went down the points, I went down in order of the flow of the epistle. But you notice that Paul began his epistle to the Ephesians by referring to God making known the mystery of his will in chapter 1, point number 2. Then this is followed by Paul mentioning about his stewardship of the mystery in chapter 3, this point number 4. And then let us now look at how Paul concluded Ephesians. He concluded Ephesians with requests for prayer on his behalf, that he may faithfully discharge the stewardship of what God had entrusted to him, and that is to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is the good news of God's provision of Christ and God's intentions for us in Christ. So God had made known the mystery to Paul. Now he's entrusted with the stewardship of the mystery. And then he concluded the epistle by requesting for prayer that he will faithfully discharge the stewardship of the mystery. And that is point number 12. To make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And that's also applicable to all of us in our prayer for one another and for all true believers. So Ephesians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20, that's nearly the end of the epistle. Paul wrote, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul had all along been doing this, and he's still requesting prayer for his stewardship of the mystery throughout his life. This is what Paul was committed to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So he requested for prayer. And he says, for which I am ambassador in chains. That is why he was in prison, for the gospel. He didn't mind going to prison if that has to be, if he's to be faithful. He says also, we saw in Acts chapter 20, he was prepared to give up his life. He devoted his whole life to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's another way to mention the mystery. The mystery of the gospel is the good news of the mystery, the good news of God's intentions for us in Christ and how all this is going to be worked out, which Paul explains in his epistle to the Ephesians. And if you carefully read all the other epistles of Paul, you will find that in different ways they contribute to what we are talking about today. So just some brief concluding remarks for today's message. We have covered 12 points. Apart from the first point, the rest are all from Ephesians. But there are many more points to cover. Many more points in a sense, not just a few more. But let us now reflect on what we can learn from what has been considered in today's message of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Let's reflect on what motivated him, how he sought to fulfill what the Lord entrusted to him. What does it involve? What is the core center of his life from which flowed forth his ministry, his conduct, his values, his priorities? And this will also be able to influence him on how he thinks, how he makes decisions. As I've mentioned, it is the underlying theme of his epistles. And let us also, as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, learn to identify with Paul and what was in his heart, that we too may be trustworthy stewards of the mystery. If you're a trustworthy steward of the mystery, you have responded well to God's call. You will learn to truly serve God in the way he desires of us. If we learn how to identify with Paul, we will learn to devote our lives to what would truly count in God's eternal kingdom. Not our own ideas, not man's ideas, and not a mixture of many things. And the last point, I want you to take note of it. There are many things that God's children in the name, who they do many things in the name of the Lord. And we also should not just dismiss them all. Because there are various things here and there that sometimes you may say quote from the scriptures, but not only that, also we may bring in scriptural principles, scriptural expressions, and there can be various things that are positive, that are meaningful. But the problematic thing is mixture. To what degree various mixtures come in? To what degree do we really identify with the heart of God, the core center of what really matters? And not only the goals, but also the way to accomplish the goal. Do believers bring in many other things according to their own understanding of what will be expedient, what will be effective to serve God? But have then, by doing so, deviate from how God wants his purposes to be accomplished. So if you want to serve God well, we must first identify the foundational basis. What's the basis of serving God well? What is really in the heart of God? What has he revealed? What are the goals? What are the major issues involved? And then how God wants his purposes to be accomplished? What's the centrality of the role of the church? And how the church ought to function. The centrality of the role of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this cannot be just expressions, mental affirmation of various terms in the scriptures. We need to look to the Lord to grant us spiritual insight into the heart of God. Spiritual insight into what is really important to God and how God wants His purposes to be accomplished. Then align our heart with the heart of God. In that way, God will have more freedom to speak to us, to guide us. If we do not get the fundamentals right, we may do many things and ask God to bless. We may even ask God to guide. But the freedom and ease with which God speaks to us and the way God guides us is very much related to the renewed mind. To what degree we have come to understand, appreciate, have spiritual insight into the heart of God, which He has already revealed in the scriptures. But the major things in the scriptures are blurred to us. We may keep praying to God for guidance, but we may have little understanding. So let us now spend some time as we prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper. Draw near to the Lord, ask Him to grant us spiritual insight into what has been in His heart before the foundation of the world. To help us to appreciate the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, what God had entrusted to him, what Paul concentrated upon, and what we can learn from him. The centrality of the role of the church and how church life ought to function, which the Lord willing, in subsequent messages, we will continue during this phase of my covering on the fulfillment of God's purposes. Although in times past, various messages have been preached relevant, but now, during this segment, I'll be concentrating on the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes. So let us now spend some time to look to the Lord, pray, and ask Him to speak to us, that we may more fully appreciate what is in His heart, how to align our heart with His heart, what we should be concentrating upon, what are our priorities. There are areas in our lives that are not right before Him, to put them right. As the Lord speaks to us, let us also ask Him to strengthen our convictions, to deepen in our insight into the truth, and to understand how to order our lives. What to concentrate on? What are our priorities? Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world and your intentions for us in Him. Thank you for giving us the scriptures. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who can help us to gain insight into what you desire to communicate and transmit to us through the scriptures. Father, we pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us in a way that will renew our minds, in a way that will help us to identify our heart with your heart, and that we may know how to respond well to your calling and participate meaningfully in the unfolding of your purposes in a context of deep fellowship with you, oneness of heart with you, and with all who love you. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you will continue to prepare our hearts that we will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.